Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to this show.
Of course. But, that's the name football, of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want, we got in my imagination. But it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know, we talk about the latest goings. More so than any other. And our mountain west matters. Where will you? You listen to this podcast too. And you rant about this podcast too. Just a side where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss the grin the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know, from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you? You listen to this podcast too. And you love this podcast too.
Welcome into the latest Mountain West Connection show here, podcast, radio, extravaganza, audio feed, if you may want to call it that way. I don't think anybody does, do they? Is this an audio feed, technically?
Technically it is.
That's Matt Kennerly with the technicalities there. Jeremy Moss here. 12 games this weekend. Our website has, we did a pretty good job this weekend, mwcconnection.com. Check it out for San Diego State news, highlights. Fresno State got a victory.
Yay.
So we'll talk about all that stuff. And well, let's get right down to it, because there's 12 games, and we don't want this show to be extremely long, because you guys don't need to hear a good breakdown of an FCS-FBS game, partly because I don't think we want to talk too much about an FBS-FCS breakdown of a game.
Our listeners have other priorities in their lives.
They do, indeed. So let's get started here. I believe my thing's in chronological order. We'll start with Wyoming-Nebraska. I wanted this so bad.
It was an interesting game to watch.
Yeah, until Josh Allen decided to just be a dummy.
Yeah, kind of got away from him later in the second half. But I mean, you know, the 52-17 final score didn't. I mean, it sounds weird to say because they lost by so much in the end. But I mean, if you look at what it was like after three quarters, it was kind of similar to how the Cornhuskers had to deal with Fresno State the week before.
Yeah, exactly. 31-17, Wyoming had the ball in the fourth quarter.
Yes. And like you alluded to, they just ended up being a little more mistake prone than they could afford. Josh Allen threw five interceptions, which probably, you know, leads a lot of the headlines. But he only completed 50% of his passes, too, and that's something that they're going to have to work on as they move forward.
And it weren't four of those, I believe, in that fourth quarter as well?
I believe so, yes.
Three or four. He had quite a few. Like, in the first half, like, here's the game. Like, Brian Hill, the running game was non-existent except for a couple of end-arounds or jet sweeps that kind of mixed it in. Brian Hill, unfortunately, if you watch his game, like, let's check out this Brian Hill character. He disappointed. He had a TD. Only had a long of 13, 49 yards. He averaged under 3 yards an attempt. Probably is almost his worst game ever in a Wyoming uniform, I believe, or close to it. Bottom three, let's just go with that. Running game was non-existent. But in the first half, they're actually moving the ball reasonably well in the air. Tanner Gentry had 124 yards.
Well, yes and no, because the numbers at halftime were kind of even as far as like total offense and stuff like that. But, I mean, if you look at the entire game, you know, if you look at some of those key categories as far as being able to sustain drives, you know, Nebraska was 8 of 14 on third down, and Wyoming was only 2 of 10. Nebraska had about a 7-minute advantage as far as time of possession. And, yeah, I mean, those are the kinds of things that, you know, this is the team that's still trying to figure out you know, the way forward. I think they have some pieces in place, which is nice. You know, Josh Allen, for all of his mistakes, I think it's pretty clear that he has a connection with Tanner Gentry, at least. You know, their leading receiver had another 100-yard game, 124 yards and a score. They still look like they have a playmaker on special teams. Austin Conway had a couple of nice returns on punts. But, you know, they had chances that they missed. I believe they missed two field goals in the first half.
They did. One was a 42-yarder. It was long enough but wide. The other one was – they weren't gimmies by any means. They were pretty good distance. But one of the two should have been in. And they had another chance for a touchdown that didn't occur either. Yeah. So they had chances. And in this game, like looking at the drive chart, they actually had – they had four straight turnovers, a fumble, but three picks by Allen in that fourth quarter. But it was 24-17 late in the third quarter.
Yeah, and Nebraska ended up scoring 28 points off of the Wyoming turnovers.
Yeah, they had a pick six. Josh Allen's intercepted. Sorry, I was making sure I read that the right way. But yeah, pick six, that's not the defense's fault there, but if – because at that point it was 17-10, pick six. Wyoming did rebound to score right after, but so did Nebraska. But then the onslaught came because they allowed Tommy Armstrong. They made him look way too good.
Yeah, I mean,
way too good.
Yeah, it's tough a game compared to what the game plan looked like last week against Fresno State. It was a lot more active, and I think a lot of that is the same kind of thing. Like they had some success running the football, or at least they remain committed to it, and that's really what Nebraska tries to do, is they set up the play action off the run. And a couple of those big plays, especially that long touchdown to Jordan Westerkamp, was off of play action, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Armstrong had more yards. He was only 5-10 versus Fresno. He had – Tommy Armstrong was, I think – I don't know in front of me, but he's like 10 of 12 for like 170 at half against Wyoming. So he easily surpassed that in the first half, but – a couple of things for Wyoming. They had so many, like you said, what were they, two conversions on third down, 2 of 10, is that right? 2 of 12?
Yeah.
They had a couple where it was like third and less than 3 yards, and they couldn't get anything done. These weren't all third and long, some were, but they had enough times where it was not even third down, but second and just short yarded situations. With Brian Hill not able to do anything, they couldn't go up the middle. Any short yardage play, except for maybe a pass or two they had where they needed like less than 4 yards. Mm-hmm. They couldn't. They had their push on the offensive front, even though we praised them because their strength condition. They even mentioned during the game, Tanner Gentry put on 20 pounds for the offseason. This offensive line beefed up, defense line beefed up. On the offensive front, they couldn't move the ball when they needed 2 yards or 3 yards. I know Nebraska's good talent, better. They're built for this, their defense, but Wyoming had basically no push when it counted when they needed like 2 yards. And that stalled so many drives.
Yeah. But I mean, the nice thing is, if you're a Cowboys fan, is that, you know, for the majority of the game, they really made Nebraska work for everything that they got. Like, I don't know if you remember that interception that Andrew Wingard had in the end zone.
Oh, right? Yes, that was a good one.
I mean, that was kind of a case of Tommy Armstrong trying to make something happen when there wasn't anything there.
That was terrible. I thought he should have just chucked it out in the end zone.
But you still have to catch that kind of pass, and Wingard was able to do that, and that's the kind of thing that was in short supply for long stretches of last year, so that's kind of an encouraging sign. But even the, you know, the front four showed some signs of life too. Like Carl Granderson had like a big, you know, 11-yard tackle for loss at one point. You know, they were active and they made Nebraska work. It just kind of got away from them at the end.
It was just more the self mistakes that Allen had in that fourth quarter.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, you can't say takeaway turnovers. What would they have? Like, would they have 5 turnovers in this game, I want to say?
It was 6 altogether.
Okay. Oh, yeah, the pick 6, fumble. Yeah, they had 2. Yeah. Oh, because, yeah, Allen had 5 himself in the fumble in the fourth quarter. And so, obviously, you're not going to be any team if you do that. But, like, you know, this game wasn't – Wyoming was in this game until the fourth quarter. Like,
yeah,
there was chances, and they moved the ball well enough. Like, 189 is not great for the passing game, but Allen was finding guys open. Like, they could pass the ball if they, for the reasonable amount of the time, they could find a guy open and move the ball if they needed to at times. They just weren't consistent and no running game, and then just shot themselves some foot in. One thing they did say, I believe Wyoming may not be the worst team in the Mountain Division, some are saying now.
I mean, maybe not. I mean, the other thing you could say is, too, it's like, you know, overall, the line didn't look very pretty. But in that first half, Allen was 10 of 16 for 134 yards and a score. And
so 55 second half yards, that's it.
Yeah, so I mean, he really kind of struggled after halftime, but he kept Wyoming in the game for at least 30 minutes of it, and that's something that, you know, that's something I'm encouraged by if I'm watching Wyoming going forward.
Same here. Plus, they probably, most people would think, like us, probably 0-2 at this point, but they got the win versus NIU, so we'll chat about them more going forward, but it was a... It's hard to say it's better than we thought, but it was until the last little bit. But let's go on to the next game. That is, there's two games. We'll go to Georgia, Georgia State really quick.
You mean Air Force and Georgia State?
What did I say?
You said Georgia and Georgia State.
Oh, sorry.
Let's not talk about Georgia, though. They Ooh. Almost got beat by Nicholls State.
Who Air Force routinely thumps when they play them, so. yeah. 48-14, Air Force won, which, not a shock. The shock was at how bad they beat them, because Georgia State was... They lost some talent. They weren't great, and they basically, Nate Romine took over and had, 200 total yards. The rushing game was wildly successful, 83 rush attempts, so I didn't realize it's that many.
Whew. Well, yeah, I mean, you remember we were talking about in the preview about Air Force going for over 400 yards at 6 yards pop?
Just about.
One out of two is not bad. 472 yards as a team and 5.6 yards per carry. That's going to get it done any week.
Let's round up. I'll round up to six.
I'll round up to six, too. I'll take credit for that. But, I mean, even more than that, you know, Georgia State's, I think, still trying to work out the quarterback situation, but neither guy that they put on the field had much success. You know, it was Connor Manning that got the majority of the playing time, but he was only 8 of 24 for 135 yards and one touchdown. So, you know, that's a testament to how good this Air Force defense can be, especially with that veteran secondary that we talked about.
Well, they have Lapido back, right?
I believe so, yes.
He's back, and that's a big deal. They just crushed him. Like, we don't need to go too much. When you win 48-14, it was close for a little bit. It's 27-14 at the half, and then Air Force just dumped it and continued. One thing I did know is kind of odd. It may not be odd just because you win this big, your talented players may not play as much, but Jacoby Owens only had 6 carries in this game.
Yeah, I don't think they really needed him after a certain point.
Possibly not, but he only had one touchdown, but I'm just a little something I'm looking at, and because he had DJ Johnson, who's the other main back, but Nate Romine, also him and Johnson combined for 40 carries. That's quite a bit.
Yeah, I think more importantly than that, between the two of those guys, they averaged about 5 yards a carry, which if you are this offense, that's exactly what you want to do. You know, they were, you know, kind of what we talked about with Wyoming not being terribly efficient moving the chains. Air Force, 13 of 19 on third down.
That'll get it done for you.
Yeah.
That's all we need to say. They won big. They're 2-0. Who do they got next week? What's the quick look ahead?
Let me pull that up.
Utah State, no conference game. Okay.
We'll get to that. That should be an interesting one.
Also, really quick, they did have the shark teeth helmet. How many points did that give them in the win?
7.
Okay, fair enough. 7 points. All right, let's go to this game. Let's go to that Utah State team.
Ugh. That was not their best effort.
USC 45-7. I attempted to watch this game, but my login I have didn't work, so I kind of go off highlights. Our guy Ben Phillips did a good recap, or I'm glad he's able to struggle to get it through because of how this game turned out. You have special teams issues. You have Devontae Mays on crutches. Not sure the update on him. Losing Mays is a huge deal. He only had 8 carries, 24 yards, but he left early in the game. I think USC was just pissed.
Yeah, I mean, when you get embarrassed by the number one team in the nation the way they did last week, it's kind of like I said in our preview, they had a lot of motivation, and they basically took it out on the Aggies all morning, basically. Like, the whole game, regrettably, is kind of encapsulated by that one vine, I think it was from Bleacher Report or something like that. Did you happen to see that?
I did not.
There's this vine out there, and, you know, I'm not going to link to it in the show notes or anything like that, but Juju Smith-Schuster basically sent, you know, Darren Levitt into a different plane of existence.
Oh, jeez. Levitt's not bad.
I believe it was on a block, right? He basically blocked him into a parallel universe.
I may have come across that.
And I mean, that overshadows the fact that Leavitt, I believe he had 15 tackles, which is career high. So that's probably not the kind of effort he wants week in and week out, because I don't think he wants to be cleaning up that many messes. But I mean, that's kind of what happens when you can't stop an offense the way that they did.
Yeah, the defense, we know they lost a lot of players, but this was just everything. Like, they had a muffed punt or something, the 5-yard line they scored. So Juju Smith had 3 total touchdowns. He had a kick return. Or no, excuse me, that's Adoree Jackson, excuse me. He had a punt return for a TD. Juju had a pair of touchdowns after having, I think, one catch for Alabama. And then Max Brown was just okay. Well, efficient, I guess. 23-30, just over 60%. But when you can't run the ball, because Kent Myers did, look at he's pretty efficient. 25-37 is not bad, but when you can't go downfield, when you have no running game, when your play action limits you useless, it's hard to do anything. They went downfield, one play? They had a 43-yarder to Adrian Akorsten Green, and then another one to Rashad Lewis, but 24 yards, but if you don't have a running game, you can't do anything, and then defense is just a mess. It's just terrible.
Well, I mean, like I said in our preview, there's a big difference between Weber State and USC.
Of course.
And I'm still kind of convinced that, like, the true production or talent level of this defense is somewhere in between what we've seen in both of those games.
Well, obviously, FCS team to a team that's, what were they, second or third in the Pac-12 South?
I believe so, yes.
And I'm trying to see it happen, but it looks Devontae Mays, like, if he was in the game the whole time, not saying it made a big difference, but it would have done something to help them out. It's just trying. I don't know the exact injury I'm trying to look right now. I just know he's on crutches left in the first quarter, I believe. But you can't, if you have no other running back, you can't just say, hey, go out and beat USC passing the ball and be one-dimensional.
Well, I mean, it's not a matter of them not having any running backs, because the guys who were behind him in the depth chart, you know, Tawny Lindsey and Justin Hervey, really ran wild against Weber State last week. But, you know, they just kind of failed to answer the bell. They had 8 carries between them and,
well, you're playing, it's like
27 said, yards between the two of them.
Well, the talent. It's like you said, the talent. There's, I could run for 50 yards against Weber State. Come on.
No, I'm just saying, those guys just didn't step up the way they needed them to. If Mays was out of commission, and it, you know, the Aggies can't afford to be one dimensional, I think, because I'm not sure that they have the playmakers in the passing game to, you know, really want to lead with the pass as much as they had to on Saturday.
Yeah, we'll see. They play Air Force. That's not gonna be. It's gonna be a little bit easier, but not really. One good thing, they did get 7 figures for the loss. So there you go.
That's true.
Go renovate Maverick Stadium some more, guys. We'll see. I don't know. I looked real quick. No new word on Devontae Mays. Hopefully we know when Matt Wells speaks later this week that something goes on. Because if he goes out for a while, isn't Lawan Hunt still on this roster, I believe?
Yes, he is.
He had 1 carry for 2 yards. Jeez. Or has 1 reception, excuse me. Well, also 1 carry for 2 yards as well. He had 4 total yards. Mm-hmm. I lucked out on that one. But if he's out for Utah, if he's out, it's at Logan, which maybe I'll try to go to that game if it is. Well, and I got stuff going on. Got family stuff. I can't go to games on the whim anymore. But if he's not healthy versus Air Force, I don't think Air Force can win even at Utah State. So,
yeah, I mean, the other thing to keep in mind is, like, this game wasn't that far away from going in a different direction, because, like Wyoming did, Utah State had chances, especially in the first half. You know, they, after giving up that first touchdown, they missed a field goal, which, again, if I remember correctly, wasn't exactly a gimme. I think it was from like 40-something yards.
It was
a 37-yarder that he missed. But then
college kickers.
Yeah, but then later in the first half, they managed to get an interception from, I'm trying to make sure I get his name correct. Okay, all this is J. So Roquemore, their safety.
John Terrell Roquemore,
thank you. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he gave them kind of their best opportunity to really get back into the game, and then the very next play, Kent Myers threw a really bad interception.
Only 1 on the day.
Yeah, but that was the kind of thing.
The big one, right?
That, I mean, it kind of was, because USC took that, scored right before the end of the half, and they were down 3 touchdowns, and then came out at the beginning of the second half, scored a field goal, and Utah State never really threatened again after that.
Do you, sure, do you ever listen to the Ain't Played Nobody podcast?
I try. I don't have a lot of time for that many podcasts, sadly.
During the off season, I have more time, but once it's football season, there's a few ones that go daily. But do you ever, I kind of skip on this part because it's, I don't, for me, it's not terribly interesting, where they do the box score bingo or blind bingo.
Oh, yeah, I always like that.
Well, it's whatever. I'm okay with it. But if you took this box score and give it to him, I don't think he could figure out this is a blowout.
Huh.
Think we should send it to him and see if he does or not?
Yeah, maybe if you want.
Well, I'm just looking at, because what they normally send is, like, it's, I'm sitting at ESPN on the team stats page. That's kind of what they send over to him, what you normally see. And, like, if like just glancing off this, you notice a lot more first downs, double, 29-13. And everything else, like third down efficiency, almost even. Utah State slightly less, 6-16 to 7-13. Fourth down, 1-3, 2-2. But everything else, outside of total yards, it's nearly even. Like, yards per pass is within the yard. Turnovers are the same. Time possession is only a couple minutes. Penalties are basically the same. It's the only thing you can really tell is that you see the yardage, but that's it. I don't think if it's 150-yard difference or 180-yard difference, you would say they'd won 45-7.
Yeah, I mean, this wasn't a case of Utah State getting lit up by big plays all over the field. It was kind of like USC really just kind of ground them down, because if you look at the long plays from a lot of their playmakers, you know, Justin Davis, the long play, the long carry was 11 yards.
Went in the short field, too.
Yeah, you know, I'm hoping I pronounced his name correctly. Akacedri Ware, his long run was only 17 yards. And then
sounds good to me.
You know, Darius Rogers, his long pass was 21 yards. So it wasn't like they were getting blown up on defense. They just kept moving the chains, basically.
Well, we'll see what happens if they play Air Force. At this point, I'm going Air Force just because injuries, and that defense is pretty good for the Falcons. So next game, Notre Dame. Is that the next game, Nevada? Is that correct?
We can go there. It was not pretty for the Wolfpack, though.
You can, pro tip here, you cannot go out of the end zone and step back in to kneel the ball down.
Yeah, that, you know, like that big hit kind of told you everything about how the afternoon went for Utah State. That whole misadventure with the kickoff return kind of tells you everything you need to know about this game.
It was 0-0 after the first quarter.
It was, but the offense just never found any answers against that Notre Dame defense.
Yeah, that it got ugly. That second quarter, it's like 25-0. They had multiple touchdowns. Field. I don't know. How do you get 25 points? A safety, a couple touchdowns, a field goal there?
Let's see if I can remember what it was. It was a field goal and then short touchdown, safety, passing touchdown, touchdown.
Missed extra point in there, it seems like, then?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, I'm trying to figure that out. I was thinking two field goals, but yeah, that's safe. Jeez. Here's the crazy thing. Like, it was, I'm trying to look at, like, kind of the box score here in that quarter, the play-by-play drive. Second quarter was nasty, man. A field goal, punt, touchdown, safety, interception, touchdown, punt, then touchdown for Notre Dame, 25-0.
Yeah.
Like, they were, like, even though 11-0, they were, the quarter got away from them when Nevada didn't take advantage of their own interception date after the safety. Like, hey, give up safety, you're down 11-0, that sucks. But the Notre Dame intercepted on their very first play. So it's like, all right, we're back in this. 11-0, whatever, we give up 2 points, not a big deal. But then two plays later, they give it right back. And then Notre Dame scores. Like I said, Nevada gives it up on a punt, another touchdown. Like, it's kind of like it's just these things snowball. It's like last week with Tulsa versus San Jose State, or Wyoming this week versus Nebraska. There's just a 6-minute stretch where it's like the worst football you've ever played, and look what happens. You can't recover.
Yeah, and I mean, especially in that first half, you know, they were going up against one of the better quarterbacks in the nation in Kaiser. And, you know, his overall line looks really good. It was like 15 of 18, 156 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. But, I mean, the defense I felt was really playing up to, like, kind of its highest potential, you know, because the longest pass was 49 yards, which meant that, you know, he had 100 yards basically on 14 other completions. So, you know, the defense was playing really well. It's just
pass defense.
the pass defense was playing really well, mm-hmm. despite what the numbers might tell you. That's the impression that I got.
Well, you know, I mean, I get that, too. Like, they, yeah, give up the receptions, but besides the one play, you're right, they weren't going deep. Because here's their passes. I'm not sure if you count all, go all three guys since Zaire came in for a little bit. Mm-hmm. They had basically 205 yards. Mm-hmm. Three of those passes were 100 yards, a 49, yeah. 25, 22. So you're right. Like, they were not letting anything get behind them. And so outside of three plays, that's all your passing yards, essentially, half of them.
The problem was that, you know, the defense got absolutely no help from the offense. Yeah. Tyler Stewart did not have a good game. You know, he was only 10 of 23 for 113 yards and an interception. And he actually got replaced at a certain point, you know, later in the second half, where Ty Ganji came in off the bench and gave him a little something, but...
Too late.
Yeah, and this isn't the kind of performance you want if you're a Wolfpack fan looking to really challenge for the division title. I mean, obviously, you know, there's no team in the Mountain West that's as good as Notre Dame was likely to be this season. Mm-hmm. But you had to show me something in this game, and they had nothing to offer the Irish.
James Butler, not even 3 yards a carry.
Yeah.
And you would think he could get... Okay, if he had 50 yards, that'd be fine, but it took him 17 carries. Give it to me on 12 carries, I'd be like, okay, that's okay. That's about over 4 yards per carry. Mm-hmm. But they didn't do that. Like, nobody ran the ball well at all. They averaged just over 3 yards a carry. And the other side, Notre Dame had Josh Adams 106 yards on only 10 carries. They had Dexter Williams had 59 yards. They had averaged over 5 yards a carry, 3 touchdowns. It was just Notre Dame just moved the ball. And then that it's dumb to say. It's like some a cop out, but those 4 possessions or 5 possessions in that second quarter basically turned the game into what it ended up being in a blowout.
Yeah, I mean, pretty much, because after that safety, they had an opportunity to get back into it, and then 2 plays later, Tyler Stewart threw his interception, and that was pretty much it.
Yeah, like I said, yeah, the interception, the touchdown. Punt, touchdown, that was it. So we knew they weren't going to win, and with it being 0-0 early, I'm like, okay, let's see what's going on. I saw 11-0, I kind of tuned out, checked back in late. I'm like, oh, crap, 25-0 at the half. Let's move on to the next game. Like, all right, I don't need to pay attention to this much anymore. Just kind of see what's being said, but it happens. That's the game they play, and like I said, the toughest team they play next is in the schedule, is San Diego State, right? They play Purdue. Purdue's nothing, but San Diego State's next best team they play.
Probably, yeah.
All right, so where are we going next? What should we chat about for next game?
Well, why don't we talk San Diego State?
Sure, we'll jump around.
They came up with the biggest program win since ?
I'd have to do some research. Oh, no, it's simple. No, they beat Boise State back-to-back. The first victory on the blue turf when they beat Boise State in a conference.
But, I mean, this is their first win against the Power 5 program in a long time. And
only second ever, I believe.
Yeah, and they basically played their game to perfection, if you kind of look at the box score. You know, they won, it was 45-40, and really it was kind of the Donnell Pumphrey and special teams show more often than not. You know, you tweeted out that night that he set a career high in rushing yards, 29 carries, 285 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Passed Marshall Faulk early on in the game.
He did, and congratulations to him for that. And then, of course, Rashad Penny made his mark on the game with a big 100-yard return early on.
Finally, I don't know why they tried to replace him returning kicks and punts. Like, come on, stick with what you have there, guys.
Yeah, and I mean they didn't make it easy for Cal. Like, you know, Davis Webb, of course, you know, they're going to lead with the pass, kind of come hell or high water. And he threw the ball 72 times. He had 5 touchdowns, but they did pick him off 3 times, including that last one from DeMonte Casey to kind of seal the deal. You know, they gave up.
Yeah, the juggling. Don't forget, not just the interception, the juggling tip turnaround diving interception after they recovered an onside kick.
I mean, if you want to look at it one way, this was the kind of game where everything had to go right for San Diego to survive because – you know, we talked on our preview that, you know, the defense is going to lead the way. Ooh. The defense gave up 604 yards of total offense to the Golden Bears.
So how good is Cal? Because I kind of joked, they're predicted 5th in the Pac-12 South. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, they had a bye week, which really helps. They played Hawaii in week 1, who's obviously not very good. where's Cal? Because the Pac-12, like, they got a lot of decent teams. Like, in the North, you got Stanford's really good. Washington should be really good. Oregon's always – you got three ranked teams. Utah's on the cusp of being ranked. UCLA's going to be ranked. UCLA. USC's going to be a challenge for everybody just about. Arizona, probably the worst team almost, well, in that division. Arizona State, I don't know how good is Cal going to be, because lighting up this defense is it's a pretty big deal, because this isn't just some defense that's only good in the Mountain West or only good in whatever. This is like going to be a top 20 defense. And I get Cal's offense. It's like when you watch Air Force play against when they played Oklahoma a couple years ago. They'll run the ball, or even Cal Poly Nevada. If you have a unique offense, you'll get points or yards at any team you play. It doesn't matter how good they are.
Yeah.
But
I mean,
the secondary had everybody back, and they still got shredded.
Well, yes and no. I mean, obviously, you know, if you look at the box score, Chad Hansen had 14 catches for 100 yards. You know, they had, like, what, 5 guys with at least 3 catches and 10 with at least 2 catches, which is kind of ridiculous. But on the flip side of that, you know, especially the starting corners, Casey and Derek Babiesh, they had 3 pass breakups apiece.
And 3 interceptions overall.
Yeah, so they really made Cal work, you know, and they made them pay for their mistakes. And
that's a good point, because like I said, if you're that good throwing the ball, you're going to get something done.
Yeah.
72 throws, come on, something's going to happen good for you. You're not going 20 for 72.
Yeah, and I mean, they did it kind of. I mean, Christian Chapman had an okay game.
Yeah,
I'll give him that. You know, he's 14 of 23, 129 yards. You know, the one touchdown, the one interception. But you know, he wasn't really the driving force for that win. And I still have some questions about this passing game overall, because Cal came within one score of winning this game anyway.
Yeah, San Diego State had 2 non-offensive touchdowns.
Yeah.
Pick 6 and that 100-yard return. So, and then also the miscue, the onside kick recover, and they had a chance. They had a chance in the fourth quarter for basically game-winning play near the end, but the guy over, like, was it the tight end that was open, I believe, or something down the middle? I started watching this game late in the game. I was flipping between Boise and this. I was going to watch a record, but I'm like, it's 12:30 a.m. I'm not starting this from the beginning. It's like kind of tuned in halfway through the fourth quarter after watching multiple games. But Cal, I don't know. It's like
they got to within the San Diego State 22
mm-hmm.
on that last drive.
In striking distance easily.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't want to throw too much water on San Diego State's parade, because, you know, this is a big win no matter how you cut it. But you know, if you look deeper at the numbers, at least so far, Christian Chapman, especially on third downs, has kind of struggled. You know, he's only completed 41% of his passes through these 2 games so far. He only has a quarterback rating of 72.9, which is a huge drop off from what it is on first and second down. So, you know, the Aztecs still kind of struggled on obvious, you know, passing situations on third down, and that's something to keep an eye on going forward. It almost kind of let them down in this game, but you know, give them credit. They have one of the best running backs in the nation, one of the best defenses in the country, and more often than not, that's probably going to be enough anyway.
It should be. His longest pass was I don't recall what pass this was. It's a 25-yarder. It's to Rashard Penny. So I'm assuming a short pass because running back. He does not throw downfield, at least in this game, not very well. Michael Holder, I know it's hard to tell when they play New Hampshire to this. It's like, who's your guy or not? He only had 2 receptions. Pumphrey tied Eric Judge with most receptions in the game at 4. And so, like we've said it before, if they get a passing game that's – not that Chapman has to lead them to victory, but if he – let's say he went 18 of 23 for 200 yards, that would be awesome. But he didn't. He went 14 of 23, interception – not even 130 yards.
Yeah.
They need him to be – like, I know I crapped on Maxwell Smith, but he never turned the ball over, and this is kind of like a Maxwell Smith game outside of the interception. He'd be lucky to throw this many yards or this many attempts. It's – I don't know. Is Cal's defense that good? I don't –
It's not.
It's not. That's the thing. I'm like,
you go, they get 31 points to Hawaii.
Yeah, right. There's that. Yeah, exactly. 30. What was the? Oh, I should look it up, but maybe I won't. We'll see if I have time, if I can vent or.
I mean, and to keep things in perspective, this is still just Chapman's third career start.
Yeah, fourth game, third start.
Overall. So he and the rest of his offense are going to grow together, I think, and this is kind of like a learning experience for him. But it's still a win, so it's. I mean, it's better to learn from a win than a game that gets away from you.
Here's what I wanted to look up really quick. So they played Hawaii 2 weeks ago. Chapman 14-23, 129 TD pick. Aikiki Woosley, Hawaii's quarterback, who may not be the starter going forward, 17-34, 234 yards, also a pick and interception. So Hawaii threw a bit better against Cal, not against them, but not that, like I said, not that Aztecs need to do that, but we've all said, like, if they could do a at least an above-average passing game, they're by far the best team in the conference.
And to me, the benchmark is kind of what they got from Quinn Kaler in that first year that he was the starter, where he was not flashy, but he was steady. He took care of the football. And the way the schedule sets up now, they're in kind of great shape to maybe run the table.
They could. This is a tough game. They go to NIU next week. They go to South Alabama as well.
Yeah, I mean, going on the road, especially back-to-back, is never easy, but you know, Northern Illinois hasn't been as good as I suspected they might be, and South Alabama kind of got exposed a little bit by Georgia Southern. So,
Georgia Southern runs a triple option, don't they, or run heavy?
Yes.
Okay.
So, I mean, we'll see what happens, but for right now, the Aztecs are in pretty good shape, all things considered.
They should be. I should look at predictive. Maybe we'll do that next week for next year. I think Bill C or him over at Football Outsiders like predictive, or maybe it's Brian Femeru. Does, like, kind of win percentage rest of the way. You know what I mean? Like, you're projected to win.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's FPI. We'll look at it later. But right now, really quick, Aztecs are an 8-point road favorite. So, against NIU, who's dropped to 0-2. I was going to see who they played. They lost to
Marshall.
South Florida. 48-17. Oh, jeez.
Some team that wore green.
Yeah, the Bulls. All right, so let's move on to another game since we're not going in order. Let's go to the other night game, Boise State, Washington State. Mike Leach, do you have a clock control guy on your sideline?
Probably not.
Anywhere?
Mike Leach is going to do what he wants anyway.
I should text him and say, Coach, what are you doing? Jeez. This is worse than – I don't know. I remember the – you would think when they blew it versus Colorado State a couple years ago in the Mexico Bowl – that they would realize, hey, we can maybe run the ball sometimes.
Nah.
No, they ran 20 times for 40 yards.
Yeah, well, I mean, who needs to when you're passing 71 times for 450 yards and four touchdowns? It's not like the pass game wasn't working. Like, it's not like Boise State was surprised by anything Washington State was going to do. But they still almost blew it at the end.
Yeah, 31-28, Boise won. The big thing about this, Brett Rypien, like we talked about during probably some offseason show, every game he played poorly and they lost. He played poorly, but they won. Three interceptions, only 19-35. And that's kind of I know Washington State, you lose to Eastern Washington. Second year in a row, they lose to an FCS team. But like I said, the offense is there. And holding to them to 28 points, I think this is more of a defensive win than an offensive win for Boise State, outside of maybe what Jeremy McNichols did, which is 116 and a pair of touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I mean, especially considering that Tyler Horton had, you know, 85-yard interception return, which, you know, if you look at the entire box score, that could have been the difference right there, is that very first score that the Broncos managed.
I thought this was going to be a blowout early on. I was kind of going back and forth. I saw the first part of this up 14-0. I'm like, oh, they got this. They're going to win. But then the offense just stalled and couldn't, whatever reason, Washington State figured out Boise State a little bit and hold up the field goals, all those interceptions, and yeah, Washington State also, don't forget, there's that missed field goal early on as well. That could have been the difference also.
Yeah, and I mean, this was another one of those instances where Boise State was almost betrayed by the fact that they weren't able to move the chains consistently. You know, going back to the whole third down conversion rate, Boise State was only 3 of 10.
Terrible.
Washington State, 11 of 22.
Look. Really quick, though, that field goal is blocked, that one early on, so you got to give credit. Again, another defensive credit there. But two things that tells me if you're 11 or 22, getting to 50% is pretty good.
Yes.
But holding them to that many third downs? Holy mackerel. 22? Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what happens when you have so many incompletions.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like Falk was... I mean, he was 55 of 71.
It's not great. It's what, two-thirds almost?
There's going to be some third down conversions in there somewhere.
Yeah, that... Looking through, like, going through so many games, I'm trying to recall exactly. Maybe I should start taking some notes, but Washington State had turnover on downs, at least, not kind of in the very last possession, but two times in this game where they just went for them forced. Or were they in fourth down 0-for-2, I take it? 1-for-3?
Let me look that up real quick.
Because it was 24-7.
They were 2-of-5 on fourth down.
2-of-5, jeez. So on third and fourth down, they were 13 of 27, jeez.
Well, I mean, to be fair, it looks like, you know, the first time they turned it over on down, they were at the Boise 13.
Yeah.
And then the next
time... Here's the thing. You're 4th and 1. You don't have a running game. Kick the ball.
Okay, that's true.
I'm just saying, you don't have a running game. They're 3rd and 3, 4th and 1. I don't know how this... How does this work? Oh, no. Oh, that's 15. Sorry, my computer's smudgy, but... I'm like, how is that the same distance? But you're down... I get it, you're down 24-7.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the game should have been over. You're winning that big, and they let them come back. You only score 7 points the rest of the way. And I think the rest of points was that pick six. I want to say was. Oh no, that was different. But you're down 24-7. I get it. You want to go for the touchdown, but you're that close. Kick and chip shot field goal. Washington had multiple chances to win this game. Washington State did.
Hard to argue. I mean, this is kind of like the San Diego State game where. You know, Brett Rippon wasn't at his best, the same way that Chapman may not have been quite where they want him to be at some point. But it's going to be a learning experience to be able to get away with mistakes like that and still win anyway.
It's true, and they needed that because, like we said, last year his mistakes were losses. This time his mistakes didn't cost him a game.
Yeah.
So they're on track as well. I thought they should have won this game more, but they let Washington State back in. But then again, anytime you play the Cougars, they could come back. It could be 40-0. It could end up being 48-35 or something. You know what I mean? Like,
yes,
that's a distinct possibility. And so, I guess give credit to Boise for only holding them to 28 points.
Yeah,
like yeah, they scored 3 touchdowns in the second half. So give them that, but it's. You're right. It's just similar to Washington, not Washington, San Diego State, Cal. But they get Oregon State next week. That should be an easy victory. Then they start conference play. So these two teams, like the way the schedule's playing, they're like seeing how New Mexico lost. Colorado State's terrible. BYU looks very beatable for what they did against Utah, even though they had chances to win that game. They're going to be undefeated when they play Air Force. I'm calling it right now. When Boise State is right now, who they have coming up. Who they get at home and who they get in the road. Utah State looks pretty bad. Well, not bad, but we'll see. But they get them at home. They get Boise at home or BYU at home. They get UNLV at home.
Well, I mean, if bad Brett Rippon shows up again, we're going to have to see how the rest of the team kind of shores itself up.
That's true. I guess if he comes up interception, I can see that versus BYU because they have a really good secondary.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be some issues there. But in Utah State, Devin Centers is a good defensive back. But I don't know how good USC is, and they beat them that bad. So, but we'll get to those games later. We're already at 40 minutes. We've only done like 4 games. So,
all right,
let's hold on a minute. Hold on. Let's pause here. Let's see if I get this mark right because last week I didn't. Expect some 60-second version of maybe Flow from Progressive or something coming up here.
You can fast forward through that.
Yeah, sure. Fast forward as long as you listen to it. I'm cool with it. Just we got the download. If you have Pocket Cast, that 30-second button comes in handy. So. Hopefully this is the point if I mark it right now. All right, let's get to the next set of games. Since we're going out of order, how about you pick again?
All right, well, let's talk about one of the more interesting games, in my opinion, of the afternoon. Colorado State 23, UTSA 14.
I'm glad I watched zero of this game. I'm glad I watched none of it.
Ugly. That's kind of the only way to describe it.
The red shirt is burned.
Yeah.
Quinterback to Fort Collins.
I mean, I don't think that's likely to happen, but, you know, the nice thing you can say about the Rams is that, you know, a couple of their questions from their blowout loss to Colorado at least got some resolution. Like the running game, which I said all along I thought was going to be a strength of this team.
Not bad.
they played a lot better. You know, Dalen Dawkins, Izzy Matthews combined for like 120 yards on 27 carries. That's a good, that's good news. And the defense played a lot better than they did. You know, they ended up, I think, with like, I'm trying to count the tackles for loss here.
Why are you doing that? Zero total, minus one total rushing yards.
Yeah.
Includes so, sack yards, but still, come on.
Yeah, and Kevin Davis seems like he's in, already having a breakout campaign. He had three sacks against the Roadrunners. And they may have the best special teams in the conference, you know, because Wyatt Bryan was, you know, 3 of 3 on field goal attempts, and Hayden Hunt, you know, he's, if he's not a great guy finalist in December, I'm going to be very shocked.
Well, he's All-American. Wait, he's the, that's great guy's punter, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, he's like ESPN and I think CBS put him preseason All-American.
But, and you know where this is going from here.
What is it?
The quarterback situation.
Like I said, they burned the wretched of Colin Hill after a game, and not even a game and a half.
It was not pretty for either him or Faten Bauta.
At least Bauta ran for, what, 40 yards, I think?
That's true.
He's got some legs on him.
But, you know, he was only 6 of 17, which is why they he got pulled for Hill to begin with. Which I'm actually kind of surprised that they did instead of going back to Stevens.
Like, at least give him one more chance, right?
That game against the Buffaloes must have left a really bad taste in Mike Bobo's mouth, I guess, because I was really shocked that they made that move instead.
He's basically said we have no quarterbacks right now.
I guess so, man. It's, I mean, it wasn't pretty in that first. I watched the majority of this game, and it wasn't pretty, really, with either of them at quarterback. Colin Hill threw at least two passes that were near interceptions. And he was only 2 of 6.
Yeah, and we'll, TBD on the QB, we'll figure that out next week. Maybe Mike Bobo will tell us on Monday or Tuesday what's going on. But let's go to the UNLV-UCLA game where, come on, Rebels. You were in this game just like Wyoming was in their game, but much closer.
True. 42-21, UCLA ended up pulling this one out. But, the, you know, they weren't for that far away. They were actually a little bit closer, I think, than Wyoming was to pulling the upset. You know, all things considered, because, you know, Josh Rosen was fine. You know, he's 23 of 38, 267 yards, and, you know, one touchdown, if I'm not mistaken, if I'm reading the score correctly.
Yeah, he had one score.
Yeah, but, you know, by a lot of measures, UNLV was kind of right there with them. You know, Johnny Stanton, his individual box score wasn't quite as pretty. You know, he was, you know, way under 50% passing. I think they still have some questions about who their number two receiver is going to be because Devontae Boyd, again, had a pretty nice game. 5 catches, 84 yards. But by a lot of other measures, you know, UCLA was 8 of 13 on third downs and UNLV was 8 of 15. You know, they were the Bruins were 2 for 2 on fourth down. The Rebels were 2 of 3 on fourth down. And they were really competitive with their running game, especially. Like, Lexington Thomas had well over 100 yards. He finished with 112 and a score. I think it just came down to a couple of really bad breaks in the second half that allowed UCLA to pull away.
But also, Jamambo, 90 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
That's
not great. But, you know, one of the things that I noticed in looking, you know, looking over the box score, there was a real key pass interference penalty kind of early in the fourth quarter where they had UCLA at midfield, 3rd and 10, which is the kind of situation you want to be in if you're on a if you're defense. And Kenny Hughes just gave him 15 free yards, and they ended up turning that into a touchdown. And at that point, the Rebels were still only down one score.
There's also an unnecessary roughness penalty as well.
Yeah.
On a different, was that the same drive?
No, it was a different drive.
Also led to a touchdown in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, but I mean, that was really kind of the last straw, I think, for the Rebels, where, you know, UCLA scored on that drive. You know, they went 3 and out on the following drive. UCLA scored again for their final score. And that was, you know, pretty much it at that point. But they weren't that far away, you know, despite some of the, you know, lopsided production on, especially in the passing game.
Yeah, but poor passing effort. Running game is, it looks like Thomas is the guy there, but you can't have those, both those penalties. That, It's tough. It's Pac-12 Network, so I couldn't see what was going on too much or any really. But that PI penalty, unnecessary roughness, both on third and tens, that can't happen. Yeah. That's just, come on, Coach Sanchez has to get something done. Or I don't know if the PI was bad or whatever, but unnecessary roughness. Regardless, it's two penalties that led to 14 points, and you lose by 21. So they are better because last year they were reasonably close as well.
That's true.
I want to say it was like 21. No points were scored, I think. At least this time they scored points. I believe it was like 21-0 or something, like 17-0, 24 with a half, where, they're kind of in it, but not really. But this, again, the fourth quarter, it's like the Boise State game a little bit, where they lost, I think, they gave up, 50 to Boise, lost by over three to four touchdowns. Same thing here. They're down one score going into the fourth quarter and give up the two touchdowns on the two big penalties.
Yeah, I mean, the nice thing is for the Rebels, the playmakers, especially on defense, they stepped up on occasion. Troy Hawthorne had a forced fumble and a tackle for loss. He recovered his own fumble that he created. Ryan McAleenan led both teams actually with 14 tackles. So, they were active on defense and they gave UCLA a little bit of a run for their money, but, especially those mistakes on offense. Johnny Stanton threw two interceptions. They were both to the same guy, Randall Goforth. So that's, something to improve upon, I think.
Well, also, they're down. They only have, I think, four healthy wide receivers.
Yeah. I mean, they might have missed Kendall Keys more than they might admit.
And they had somebody else, I forget who, injured as well. So they're, down to, nothing, a wide receiver.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to be something they'll figure out going forward. But, to be able to go into that environment and hang around.
Wait, hold on. You're telling me the Rose Bowl is a tough environment?
It is a tough environment. They were down one score after three quarters. That, I don't want to harp too much on moral victories, but I think if you told UNLV fans you're going to be down one score to the Pac-12 South preseason favorites,
take it.
You would take it.
You'd be happy. It's like one score. We can get one score.
Yeah, and I mean they were a lot closer than they were last year. They lost 37-3. So, they still have some things to work out going forward, but I think this is another one of those situations where it's a team that's rebuilding, and they have some pieces in place, and I think they can be encouraged by the result.
Sure, and it's like what we said, get closer. They'll still have losses like this, but get closer and maybe get a win or two on top of that. So they're still getting there. I still told people, not a bowl game this year. I think a bowl game is next year for them.
Yeah.
All right, so the other FBS game versus FBS, I'm so sad. Bob Davie was just this close to going 5-0 against New Mexico State to be the first Lobos coach ever to do that the first five times playing your rival. How do you lose a freaking New Mexico State?
Turnovers, man.
Oh, yeah.
32-31. The other Aggies, the Sunbelt Aggies, were able to pull this one out. But, I mean, that's really kind of the tale, right? Because they only had one turnover, but it was kind of a killer late in the fourth quarter. Apodaca got the start. Looked like he played the majority of the snaps at quarterback for them. So
100% of the snaps.
100% of them.
Unless Lamar Jordan had a wildcat because he had two carries for 2 yards. But I don't believe Bob Davie is saying Lamar Jordan again if he's going to play. He's not going to play quarterback unless Apodaca gets hurt.
Maybe not. But, I mean, they weren't quite as explosive as I think you'd want this passing offense to be either. He was 12 of 23. But he only had 115 yards, and he had the one interception that New Mexico State was able to turn into those winning points late in the fourth quarter.
Well, the thing is, New Mexico doesn't need, well, this passing, 12, be more accurate, but the yardage is fine. They don't need to throw for even 200 yards. They could throw
That's not necessarily what I'm saying. What I'm saying is their longest passing play was only 21 yards. Yeesh. And, Tyrion Gibson had four catches, but his longest pass was only 12 yards. Mm-hmm. I think this is a team that really needs that occasional 30 or 40 yard pass completion that they just didn't get in this game.
Well, even any big play, they didn't have any big plays. I know they played FC, what did they play, Jackson State last week or something, whoever it was, some FCS team. Yes, or South Dakota, I believe, whatever. Whoever it was, some FCS team. They're going off Terrion Gibson, 80-yard run, 60-yard run, 40-yard run. Their longest play from scrimmage was only 26 yards, and that was an Apodaca run. They're typically they'll have multiple 20-plus yard plays. They didn't have it this game. And against a bad Aggie team, well, I guess supposedly bad Aggie team, they can't get multiple big running plays.
Well, they really kind of outplayed them in a lot of different facets of the game. You know, they forced they had five sacks, which is a big step forward for this defense. You know, but at the same time, Mexico State was 9 of 17 on third downs. They were able to sustain drives in a way that the Lobos weren't,
despite averaging not even 3 yards a rush.
Yeah, and they ran roughly the same amount of plays. The Lobos outgained them on total offense by about 30 yards. But, they just weren't as efficient as they needed to be, and New Mexico State made their opportunities count, and that was really kind of the difference in this game.
Yeah, it's... And then this could have been worse because New Mexico State had 4 field goals.
Yeah. I mean, and they really held them down in certain places, too. Like, New Mexico State only averaged 2.9 yards per carry, which... If you're a Lobos fan, mm-hmm. that's great. Like, that's the kind of thing that you weren't doing last year, and that's the kind of thing that you and me and Chris talked about in the preseason as far as this defense taking a step forward. They did in this game, but the offense was the one that really let them down.
Yeah, this is offense based off big plays. Like I said, if they don't have big plays, they're not going to – any big victory they had, when you look at Boise State, when they keep it close for all these teams, it's because they have 40-yard runs, 35-yard runs. It's not a team that's going to have Gibson. Yes, he averaged almost 5.5 yards a carry, but he's a guy, it took him 12 attempts to get there. He's a guy that may have that same number, but his long will be like 45 yards.
Yeah.
That's what their offense is. They're not going to go 8 yards at a time, or whatever yardage may be. Like, 4.9 yards per carry is not bad for running the ball. But New Mexico, they didn't have any big plays, and that's what they usually do. They'll usually break off some huge touchdown run or even the occasional touchdown pass, whether a short one that goes long or something downfield every now and then. But that's how they win, and it just didn't happen. And I guess Aggies kind of stifled them, and they did just enough. And like I said, the one pick at the end of the game, that was the big deal, and that just did it for them.
I think they're going to remember this one for a long time on both sides.
They definitely should, because I don't even know what New Mexico State's supposed to be. Are they still in the Sun Belt for one more year, or are they independent this year now?
No, they're still in the Sun Belt, but I think the Lobos expected to win this game pretty handily, and they kind of gave it away.
Also, really quick, this is the most field goals ever for New Mexico State in almost 20 years. They kicked 4 against Utah State back in 98, so just a little side note there.
All right, fun.
Yes, one fact. That's where you go to. That's why I love the Twitter page now they have on ESPN for teams.
Yeah.
Right there. Perfect. So, your team got a victory. Fresno State beat up on an FCS team.
I wasn't terribly impressed, but
you
yes.
You were not. You called it a sleepy, what did you say, sleepy victory?
Yeah, because the offense especially kind of went into a hibernation for most of the game. It was still only 10-3 at halftime. In Sacramento State was really only able to get that field goal because of kind of a fluke on special teams where, someone was running down the field and a shanked punt, got him in the leg. He wasn't even looking for it, He was just trying to do his punt coverage. But it took him a little while to get going. Yeah, they eventually won 31-3, but there's still some questions about this offense because, it took Chase and Virgil a little bit of time to get going. His box score, all things considered, was okay. He completed about 50% of his passes, had a couple touchdowns. The nice thing you can say is that the receivers seem to be able to make plays when they can get the ball, because Jameer Jordan had over 100 yards, Keyshawn Johnson had a couple touchdowns. So at the very least, they have a trio of receivers who should make a difference going forward. And the defense played its best game in almost a decade. But they only gave up about, I want to make sure I get this figure correct. They gave up 185 yards total offense to Sacramento State. Only 3 of 16 on third down. Those are the kinds of figures that you know, that's the kind of figure that you want out of your defense.
Also, and you want another fun fact about that defense?
Yes.
25% was given up on one play, that 44-yard pass.
Yeah. And, I mean, they showed some playmaking ability in the defensive backfield as well. Both Tyquan Glass and Jamal Ellis had interceptions. So, you know, the defense played a complete game. The running game showed some signs of coming to life. You know, the quarterback situation, they're sticking with their one guy, which in itself is a win to me.
Exactly. The past 4 years, it's been trouble.
But, you know, they're going to have to get better because going on the road to face a team like Toledo isn't going to be any easier. It's not going to get any easier than it was on Saturday.
So what do you want better? Just better passing game? Because defense played well, scored enough points, running game looked pretty good. Guys catching the ball. Aaron Peck only had three, but you're playing this team. It's whatever. He's not going to have a huge game, you would think. So what do you want better? Better completion percentage?
More or less, yeah. I mean, they took shots down the field, which I was encouraged by, but Chase and Virgil wasn't terribly accurate. The one interception he threw was kind of an airmailed pass straight to one of the Sacramento State defenders. And there were they had some chances for some really easy touchdowns. Like, there was one play that I remember where Keyshawn Johnson probably didn't have a defender within, like, 10 yards of him. And Chase and Virgil overthrew him by, like, 5 yards.
And I'm guessing you also don't want to have a 10-3 lead heading into the fourth quarter against this type of team.
Not necessarily. I mean, there's a lot to like based off this performance, but, you know, the flip side is, you know, he was missing those long passes, but at least he was throwing those long passes, which you didn't often see a lot of last year. And like I said, the receivers can make things happen if you can get them the ball. So that is something to watch going forward.
All right, we'll see when they play Toledo. That'll be a good matchup. More of a even matchup, I'd say, compared to playing Nebraska and Sac State. So, final game. Two more games?
Yeah, are you talking San Jose?
Oh, sorry. I was at the bottom of my page. Yeah, we got two quick. Sorry, I just wanted to talk Hawaii. But San Jose State, Portland State.
66-35.
Whew.
I don't get the job done, Spartans.
First off, why are you giving up 35 points? Well, I just give credit. Portland State is actually a pretty good FCS team.
Yes.
They beat Washington State. They made it to the playoffs last year. Their QB is pretty good, but didn't play that great. He had three picks and Alex Cressa. Partly because I say that, I know his brother and he hypes him up all the time. Just because. But they gave up too many yards on the ground. You give up too many points. But he scores 66 points. You beat up on an FCS team. Kenny Potter did fine. He played very well. 14-20, three touchdowns. Running game was there. I have no idea who Zamor Ziegler is, but I want more of him so we can say that name more often.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, why not?
Why not?
He had a 74-yarder. Look at these long plays. 74, 87, 41 passing, 46 passing, 36 yards passing. Billy Freeman, touchdown. Trey Hartley, Justin Holmes, touchdown. They just gave up 20 points. That's all I can say, but good for them for scoring 66 after their crappy performance last week.
Yeah, I mean, I think the strengths that we expected them to see really showed up. Andre Chachere had two interceptions for the Spartans. You know, Frank Ginda, who I think, I don't know about you, but he was just outside of my top 50 going into the season. You know, he had a fumble recovery. He led the team in tackles. So, I mean, there's something here. Like, we wanted them to show us something against a pretty solid FCS team, and they did just that. And I think that's something that, you know, that's something to take with you as they get back into more FBS play going forward in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, they gave a couple big plays. Like, they had a trick play where Josh Knight completed a long pass to QB Alex Cressa there for a touchdown, 78-yarder. And a couple long passes you don't want to happen, too many big plays, but they went big. It's fine. I just want to maybe this kind of woke them up a little bit, because I know Tulsa's really pretty good, albeit them only scoring three versus Ohio State, making me look like a dummy, but look it up if you want to figure out what that's about, because whatever. Hey, it was 3-3 after one quarter. I was on to something early, right?
Yes.
But, yeah, they got next week. Let's just move on. We don't need to take too much more time in this game, but just too many points. But, yeah, I think also Portland State was, I want to say, 16th ranked in the FCS poll, so they beat a opponent they should have beat up pretty good and allowed them to get some plays where plays should have been had because they're not a bad team. Now we get to the final game. Hawaii, Tennessee, Martin. I wish the Mountain West would stream these games, but there's an issue because apparently people know how to geo block in Hawaii to watch games for free. So thanks for that, guys. So looks like no Robert Kikalula this year on our airwaves.
Sadly.
People in Hawaii ruin it.
41-36, though. They almost gave this one away.
However, real quick, I don't blame Hawaii fans who don't want to pay $40 to watch a game. For your team. So it's like, well, what are you going to do? But, yeah, I went to bed about 2 a.m. local time last night. And I'm like, screw it. I'm sleeping. I was watching Twitter because apparently Twitter's pretty active at the end of the Aztec game. Mm-hmm. I was getting a couple highlights up just to have something in the morning. I'm like, oh, it's 26-25. Hawaii's losing. Hope they win. Good night. See you in the morning, I guess. But they came alive and got the win.
Yeah, I mean, they were kind of the same team that they were in Australia against Cal. Like, they weren't terribly efficient, but they were explosive against a Tennessee Martin team that they probably should have beaten a little more handily than they did. Like, Akeka Woolsey still only completed 50% of his passes. Threw three interceptions, but he did throw four touchdowns.
He had 200 yards on 9 completions.
Yeah, so, I mean, and if you look at his long passes to his receivers, Marcus Kemp had the game winner from 63 yards out. You know, Amon Barker's lone catch was 37 yards. Metui Salaunga, his lone catch was a 36-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it wasn't pretty, but, you know, I'm sure the Warriors will take it. You know, if they can show this kind of explosiveness despite a lack of real efficiency, you know, they could hang around quite a few games this year, I think.
And they ran the ball pretty well. I'm glad to see that back.
Yes.
St. Juice did. Stephen Lakalaka did pretty well. 2 touchdowns, 163.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're able to get chunks of yardages against suspect defenses. And I think that that's the kind of thing that can really serve them well. Maybe even as soon as next week against Arizona. Because, I mean, we could talk about it when we get to our preview show later this week, but that's a Wildcats team that almost lost to Grambling on Saturday night.
Yeah, that's not just an FCS team. It's not just an HBCU team. That's one of the worst FCS teams around.
Yes.
We know with used to be decades ago, very good place. Like, who was it? Doug Williams was a QB there. So many guys in the NFL, the Redskin QB won Super Bowl. All sorts of NFL players under their legendary coach who I'm spacing on the moment, which I should know. But that's not the same team. It hasn't been that team in 20 years. This is it's a bad team they nearly lost. So we'll see what happens, but yeah. So since we've done all the games, we did airtime. This is just over an hour, but not actual time because of a lovely computer fun. But
difficulties.
It'll sound smooth once you guys hear it, hopefully. But what's your top three real quick for the power rankings for the conference?
I mean, I think it's fairly straightforward. I had San Diego State 1, Boise State 2, and Air Force 3.
I guess I got to go that same way. I had Wyoming last week because they actually beat an FBS team.
That's a fair argument.
That's why, for those, nobody, I'm surprised, well, that's my ranking, yeah, same as you, but surprised there was no backlash about me not voting the Aztecs in the underdog poll at all last week.
They were probably grumbling in their own circles.
Nobody fell for it to comment back on there. I was surprised. We have the passionate guys out there who don't like some of my stuff I mentioned.
I'm really interested to see how the power rankings shake out after those top three, though, because I can't speak for anybody else. I had a really hard time figuring out who was number four, and I don't, off the top of my head, I don't remember who I voted for, but
I think I put Utah State last week at number four. Yeah, or no, Air Force. Sorry, Air Force, I think.
But, I mean, there's a gulf between those top three.
So who's your fourth team, then? Who would you put four right now?
That's what I'm saying. I don't remember who I put.
No. I mean, like, right now, because I don't – like, not who you think the best team is. Like, what we've seen, who would be the number four team?
Probably San Jose State.
Really?
I wouldn't feel good about that, but yes.
Do we have to do a top 12?
We do have to do a top 12. The page clicks demand it.
Yeah, oh man. UNLV?
We'll have to wait and see how everybody else on the site votes.
Oh, geez, you're right. That's number four. If New Mexico won, they could make it easy for us, but they did not.
That is correct.
Maybe CSU?
Maybe. I mean, there's a case for just about, this is not a very strong case for about three or four different teams, but there's a case.
I think anybody but Hawaii, just because they played three games and lost two, would not be in the running.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we have a lot to think about, because I got to turn that poll on this weekend, the underdogs poll. Are you going to rank Central Michigan at all this week, I'm assuming?
They're just outside of my top 10.
Really? Even after that? I guess so. The victory was kind of flukish.
I always rank 15 anyway, even though I'm supposed to rank 10.
Yeah.
And I think I had them at number 11.
Because nobody voted for – I double-checked. Nobody voted for them last week. I figured there would at least be one vote, but I guess they played some FCS team. Like, they played Presbyterian or something, but
– yeah.
We'll see. I think I'll put them in there maybe, but I got to fill out that as well, man. I'm busy tonight. So let's wrap this up here so I can get to do some more work for hopefully people may enjoy. But that's our show tonight. Again, MWCConnection.com is our website. We got a bunch of games next week. I think we start Friday with Utah State, Arkansas State, but we'll get to that later. Bunch of games. What do we need to do to have a review? Because we haven't had a review like in years, I think, on the podcast. Anywhere.
That's an excellent question. Maybe we can like FedEx nickels to people.
That's not worth it for us. That's cost a lot. Well, not just nickels, but FedExing anything.
That's true.
Should we do what the guy did at game day? Just Venmo some people some money or something?
Just Twitter testimonies. Tell people, sure. Tell your friends how much you like the podcast.
Yeah, because yes, reviews on Stitcher and Google Play. I think Google Play does reviews, but iTunes. That'd be great. But let people know if you like what we say. Just give us a thumbs up. Give us a like. Share it. That's cool. That's all I got tonight. We're on SoundCloud. I'll do a better job of uploading to SoundCloud quicker because it's not my main source of putting it anywhere. Putting it there at the moment. So Blog Talk Radio, SoundCloud, Stitcher, not Google. No Google Play. Strike that from the record. Google Play is off the books for technicality reasons. We want to actually know who listens. Not just one person. That's it. If there's a subscriber, that's all we get. It tells us one, no matter what. So our website, MWC Connection, that's the fun stuff. And we'll be back next week to hopefully maybe make you chuckle. But, again, we're biased against all of your teams, folks, and we'll see you next time.